Today's FanLUN Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 101 odds on either fighter landing a punch during the fight. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Absolute truths. Hour number two of the Blitz is live here on FanRun Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, we are broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of FanRun Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, we are live on our Periscope feed, which you can go and find on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. The podcast will be uploaded just moments after the show goes off the air. And, of course, you can check out FanRunRadio.com as a fantastic place to get all your news regarding Tennessee football, basketball, and baseball. And check out the FanRun Radio app, which you can download for free to take the show, take the station, wherever you are headed throughout the day on the go. All right, gentlemen, hour number one is in the books. I talked a lot about the basketball team. Disappointing weekend for the basketball team. Do you think that we are going to officially fall out of the top 25 for the first time this season?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another 101 week. Not great. Definitely going to be falling out. Now, I haven't seen actually what the rest of the top 25 did, especially over the weekend. But yeah, when you are when you're on the brinks, it doesn't really take much to push it right back off. So, who knows? That'll come out tomorrow. We'll figure that out whenever it does. Or is that today?
It comes out at noon.
Okay, so it'll come out today. Talk Sports will be all over that. But either way, guys, switching directions a little bit, I want to go to... I just have one quick thing on the two recruits that Tennessee missed out on over the weekend. Saw a lot of people talking about these two commitments and kind of what it means for the present, what it means for the future, and a lot of different things going around. And I felt like a lot of people were on the right track, but maybe just tuning it up a little too much, one too many notches. Because I believe when you look at the situation, there are three absolute truths, and they are all true at the exact same time. So I want to get your opinion on it and certainly see what you think. But here's what I believe in regards to Ty Simpson, the Martin, Tennessee quarterback from Westview High School, going to not Westview High School. What high school? Now I got to find out. I think Westview is from WandaVision. I think that's why I just said that.
Something like that. Westview, something like that.
Where? Westview. Okay, that was right. Yeah. Is that the name of the town from WandaVision?
Just West something.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. Tweet it in if you know. Anyways, so Ty Simpson, five-star quarterback, heads to Alabama. Sam Horn, four-star quarterback, heads to Missouri. That happened on Friday and Sunday, respectively.
Sandwiched the basketball loss, really.
Perfectly.
I don't even know what to say. What kind of sandwich it is. It's not good.
No. No. No, it's a moldy sandwich. It's been out for a while. It was already expired, just one that you do not want to eat. It does not look appetizing, but that's what we were fed. So, Brandon, I got three things that, again, I believe these are all true, and they're all true at the exact same time. Number one, the immediate future of the quarterback position is not a concern. Hendon Hooker is an experienced quarterback that is already on the roster, going to be on the team next year. And, look, we don't know whether he's going to play or not, but what we do know is at least that is somebody to maybe guide the quarterback room. Who knows the kind of leadership that Harrison Bailey experienced last year? Who knows what Caden Salter is going to bring to the table. But I believe that with those three guys, two very promising prospects, one experienced, high-leveled quarterback, I do not believe that the immediate future of the quarterback position is in any kind of concern. Number two, I think that losing both is disappointing. Like, it sucks. I know all things considered. I know you got the investigation looming. I know that you got a staff that, you know, didn't get much time to work with these guys, but it is okay to say that losing both is disappointing. Just because you lost them doesn't mean you have to turn around and say, oh, well, look at that. You know, those guys were never even good. We never wanted them. Look at the talent. Look at who they play. Look at the coach. Man, like, losing both is disappointing. I realize that we didn't have much time. That factors in. But it's okay to say that losing both sucked. It felt like a gut punch. You lost one on Friday. Everybody in the fan base immediately turned their attention to Sam Horn, who 2 days later turned around and went a different direction. Felt like a gut punch, as it should have. That's fair. But number three, last but not least, what I fully believe is that these misses are so much more of an indication about the continued fallout of the Pruitt administration as compared to a current picture of the beginning of the Heupel administration. Just because Josh Heupel and company do not land Horn and Simpson, I don't believe that that is the current picture of Tennessee football recruiting. I don't believe that that is where they're at. Look, give these guys more time, please, a little bit. It's been a month, and they got other things to deal with on the plate right now. I bet that getting these guys were, you know, certainly a priority. But, man, if we want to get mad at anybody for losing two big recruits, let's look at Jeremy Pruitt. So let's look at Philip Fulmer. Let's look at the guys who brought this program to its knees over the offseason. I think that losing both of these guys is no indication of where the Heupel administration sits, even though it sucks to lose on both. I think that is a fallout of the Pruitt disaster. Truly do. And then, look, two less options off the board. Okay, that's life. Deal with it. Got to keep going. Find the next guy. But to me, those are your three truths. And I think the thing that I kept seeing is that people were saying that, you know, two of those things could not be happening at the same time. Like, it couldn't be disappointing to lose them and, you know, basically admit that, you know, it wasn't really on this administration at the same time. I think that all of these things are true at the exact same time.
And, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I think most of it is on I'm not going to put it on Pruitt, because if Pruitt was here, I mean, who knows? I mean, if none of the investigation and none of the fallout had happened, maybe you land one of those guys. I mean, I just think it's tough given how late in the process, Heupel got in. I mean, the timing of everything that happened with Tennessee was just piss poor. And you can't really control that. And I mean, like you said, I mean, the quarterback room is not bare.
No.
I mean, you've got talent. I think we'll be okay.
A lot of people were saying over the weekend, like, oh, well, okay, well, you know what? I guess now it's time to point our attention to Caden Salter. And you know what? He looks pretty good if you haven't noticed. It's like, well, hey, we've noticed. We've been excited about this guy for over a year now.
We've got our set.
Like, this guy's great.
Now we have to set our eyes to Arch. Arch. That's the next... It's the next prize target. You got plenty of time. You got a whole year.
What are we
year.
Doing? Why are you the one convincing that we need Arch Manning, and I'm the one laughing that could never be a possibility? This is like a Freaky Friday situation.
No, we got to set our eyes on Arch.
I feel like in any other situation, I would be the one absolutely standing, saying that the Manning kid is our only hope, is our savior, is everything. And you would be the one saying, hey, just because he's got Manning in his name doesn't mean he's a lock.
I'm not saying I'm not saying we have to get him or the future is doomed. I'm just saying that's the next one that we should set our eyes to.
I hope we are.
And it's a little bit more reasonable. You give Heupel a little bit more time, build a rapport, build some better relationship.
Arch's gonna go to Ole Miss.
Hey!
He is.
Hey,
Kiffin's there.
Oh man,
Granddaddy went to Ole Miss.
Man, that's gonna be the biggest fish that we've seen in a long
Papa
time.
Papa Archie.
Yeah, his name is Archie. I feel like it's only lines up that he follows his granddad's footsteps. Arch 2.0.
But his dad went to Ole Miss, too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little added pressure. I mean, it's not worked out for us.
Yeah.
The dad's play here doesn't usually work out. I don't know. I'm just trying to be optimistic on a Monday.
Arch Manning.
That really will be the, that'll be one of the biggest fish that ever hit the water around here. No doubt about it. Oh, man. Moldy sandwich weekend, huh? Ew. Not fun.
Defecation sandwich.
Oh, nasty.
All right, here we go back here on Blitz 11:15 a.m. Rick, Brandon, and Chance hanging out with you, making our way through the show on a Monday morning. Hopefully everyone has a nice week ahead. Hopefully the rain can stay away for a little while. Looking ahead, I guess, to the week. I don't know. What do we have? What do we have to expect here? Ah, it's going to be clearing up nicely. Towards the end of the week, we're going to have a lot of sunny skies, and it'll get all the way up to about the low 60s this week. So hey, hopefully some sun. Get out and enjoy it. That being said, though, guys, we've hit a lot of Tennessee news over the course of the show so far. Talking a little basketball, talking a little football. By the way, 865-546-8200 if you want to join. Chance, what do you say we open things up a little bit? What do you say we open the forbidden door and we head out into the sports world and get into a little opening drive? How about that?
I like it. I can dig it. Hit some headlines.
And here we go. First down. According to sources, Anfernee Simons, Cassius Stanley, and Obi Toppin are expected to be in the NBA's slam dunk contest.
Sorry, who?
Anfernee Simons of the Trailblazers.
Former Vol.
Yeah.
VFL Anfernee Simons.
Not committed, but then went ahead and made the jump to the league instead.
Is he the Mookie Betts character of basketball? Not on that level, but same route. Kind of.
I don't know.
Somewhat.
Okay.
I mean, Barnes had him, and then
he was affiliated with Tennessee for a brief period. So VFL.
And then like he got a high draft grade, so decided, not gonna do this. I'm gonna make some money. Obi Toppin, I know he's got some springs. Anfernee Simons, I guess he gets a lot more playtime now with Portland, but I don't get to watch him that much.
What happened to the dunk contest? I mean, it's been like this for a while now, but I mean, this is just...
When did the stars not do it anymore? Because, you go back to, like, the ones in the 80s, the 90s, and you do see Jordan and the biggest names.
Those real ones were stars.
Vince Carter.
I mean, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. That was the last amazing one that we really had.
When is LeBron and Durant... and Anthony Davis. Like, that's what the people want.
Well, I feel like LeBron should have at least done one. I thought Zion might jump in there and do one, but it's just these guys are stars. I mean, say they stop seeing all the big-time guys do it because of fear of injury. That's the thing. Like, they say fear of injury. So that's why you're not getting a Zion Williamson.
What do you think? Do you think it's really fear of injury, or do you think it's fear of loss?
Both.
Like, what? Okay.
Both. I'd say both.
Is it too egotistical to want to like be afraid of losing the dunk contest? It's like, Jay, just give the fans what they want. Go out there and have some fun.
Well, I mean, too, I think it's I just think it's so much harder these days to be original and have an original dunk.
Oh, that's another thing too.
Good point.
Everybody's done all the dunks.
That's a good point. So, anyways, that will be happening at halftime of the NBA game. That will be on March 7th.
That's pretty cool that they're doing it at halftime. I mean, I know that they're doing everything in one day, but That's decent. I can get down with that.
So Sunday night, y'all going to be making the All-Star Game appointment television?
Appointment? I mean, I may check in, but I'm not going to
go out of my way.
Okay. That's what I was curious.
Yeah. Sit down and watch every second. No way.
That's what I was curious. Chance?
I'll definitely watch it. Especially, I think it's so much better with that Elam rule, how they do it now. Makes it a little bit more competitive for the guys.
Second down. Does anybody know if Chuck is headed to Indianapolis for the tournament?
He mentioned it.
He said he was. Yeah, I thought he said he was going to Vegas for the tournament.
Oh, wow.
Maybe. Cool.
Wow. Charlie in Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, I got nothing for Vegas, but if he is going to Indianapolis, or if anybody else in the area or listening to this is headed to Indianapolis to go watch the. Go to Indianapolis to watch Tennessee and the elite run that they're going to make. If you are headed down there, hey, your choices of dining options might have grown a little bit. According to the Associated Press, Indianapolis, which is the host city for the NCAA tournament, will relax restrictions on the city's bars and restaurants starting next week ahead of the Big Ten and the NCAA men's basketball tournaments, as they expect a lot of people heading into the city for this tournament.
They say that it's not because of the tournament. I don't know if I buy that.
Hogsett, who is the mayor, Mayor Joe Hogsett, he says, I know, sounds like he should be the Fayetteville guy, right? He said this quote, "I want to make it clear, though, that these decisions were in no way driven by March Madness." You're right. That does seem a little sus.
Like, if it was, like, do you really have to come out and say that it wasn't for that? Like, just loosen the restrictions.
Yeah.
Don't say that it's not because of March Madness.
I wonder if he was directly asked. You know, and they're like, "That's like, is there any way that you could be doing this just because there is maybe a major sports tournament coming?" He's like, no. It's not like we have a 68-team basketball tournament coming in here.
It's like
it's not like we're opening it up for fans from all across the country. That could never be it.
It's like when Butch Jones said he fell on a helmet, and that's the truth. When you say it's the truth, it's not.
No, it's not the truth.
Third down. Guys, Washington, the football team, by the way, do you think they're just going to keep football team? Over under 3 years, Washington gets a new football name.
I think they roll with it for this year, and then I think by next season, so this coming season, the 2021 football season, they will still be the football team.
Okay.
But by 2022, they will have a nickname.
Will have a name? Chance? Any kind of guess?
I think they just roll with it.
I kind of like the Washington football team. I think it's got kind of a cool look with the numbers on the helmets and... you know, no mascot, no dumb thing. Just the, you know, plain letter, plain numbers.
I think they just stick with it.
It's the way to go. Anyways, the football team is expected to part ways with one Alex Smith, the AP Comeback Player of the Year. Wow. A little bit of a surprise here. And I know that this probably isn't, you know, the most up-to-date, you know, football decision, you know, It's not a football decision, but you got to think, like, this was a great story for Washington. Washington, I think there's also something to note that Washington basically never gave up on him, never let him go, never left his side during, you know, all the time where it looked like he was never going to get remotely close to playing football again. So I don't think they're entirely, like, the villains in this situation.
Oh, they are.
I don't know. He said that
downright dirty.
They knew he wanted to come back, knew he was healthy, and they pretty much pushed him out of there.
Downright dirty. Whoa. By the Washington racial slurs.
Tell him, Brandon.
I mean, they would not have made the playoffs if it wasn't for Alex Smith.
It's
they
very true.
Made the playoffs because of this man with 1.5 legs. And then they just cut bait.
Well, I mean, they made the playoffs because another quarterback got hurt. But I see where you're going. I see where you're going. In terms of their team, very true. So you're sticking with that. They're doing them dirty.
Dirty dogs.
Wow. So Heinicke's going to be their guy, I guess. with no backup Alex Smith, who was the backup that saved their franchise last year. Interesting.
Yeah, they got to be going with one in the draft. Yeah, you would have to think.
I guess so. And then here we go. Last but not least, looking at some of the college basketball games from over the weekend, man, had some crazy upsets going down over the weekend. Number 4, Ohio State gets beat by Iowa. They took a good pounding right there. And then the big one, number 2, Baylor falls to Kansas on the road, 71-58. Baylor suffers their first loss of the year. Michigan also won on Sunday, beating Indiana. That means Michigan will likely jump Baylor for that 2 spot. Gonzaga does roll against Loyola Marymount. But big, big loss right here at the end of the season for Baylor. I mean, not like big in terms of huge, but big in terms of, well, pretty much everybody had penciled them in. You know, 2 undefeateds heading into the tournament.
Tennessee's win over Kansas looked good now.
Yeah.
No, you needed them. Kansas had, like, kind of fell off.
Yeah, but the Auburn loss kind of cancels it out.
Are you telling me that I can't sit here and say that, you know, if A beats B and B beats C, then A is now inevitably better than C?
No.
Let me put it in layman's terms. If Tennessee beat Kansas, Kansas beat Baylor, Tennessee can beat Baylor.
No.
Oh. You're not saying that's how it works?
No.
And are you sure?
I kind of think that loss for Baylor might not be a bad thing.
Mm.
You lose right before you're heading into the Big 12 tournament here in a little bit.
Mm.
I think they run through that, and I think they make it to the Final 4.
Oh.
I think you might be right. It's an interesting concept in sports.
They'll be fine.
You know, though, when an undefeated team gets to take a little bit of pressure off, and, you know, you kind of suffer like a loss in late in the season or something like that. Doesn't happen too often because, you know, not often we see undefeated teams this late in a sports season. But it is an interesting concept when it happens. Either way, that is your opening drive for today on a Monday morning. Some pretty good stuff there. Looking back at at some of these scores from the weekend, though, especially in the SEC, we already have told you, of course, about Tennessee and Auburn over the weekend. Number 6, Alabama wins over Mississippi State by 5 points on the road. Arkansas took down LSU. South Carolina over Georgia. Vanderbilt over Ole Miss. And Florida took down Kentucky. We did not want Florida to win. Is that correct?
I guess they didn't matter. I mean, it all hinged on Tennessee winning. So
point. Yeah. I spoke too soon.
I mean that was... That's the first step in the process. Tennessee win. It doesn't matter after that. I do think we'll probably end up locked in at the 5.
Have you seen any kind of updates or anything so far? Bracketology. When you say locked in at the 5, do you mean in the
SEC? I just mean in the SEC tournament.
Okay, I think you're totally right.
Jerry Palm released some new bracketology this morning.
Well, while we find that, the SEC standings do not change over the weekend. Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, LSU, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Missouri. That is your top 7 in order.
Updated as of...
Oh, if you're not watching the Periscope, my God. Oh, my God. The reaction... That was on Brandon's face. Mm. You would have thought that he had just, you know, chugged a 2-year expired carton of milk.
Just guttural. Ugh.
Yeah.
Jerry Palm.
Yeah, how's that for 11:30? Eat your lunch.
Jerry Palm. Ugh. Tennessee, a 7.
Oh!
7.
Dropping.
Say it ain't so.
Playing Wichita State.
Oh.
And Greg Double G Marshall in the
not
first
a
round.
Double G.
And then you get to play, if you win that game, you get to take on Luka Garza in Iowa in the second round. How about that?
7 seed.
Let's see what Lenardi has us as.
Chance.
Greg Marshall, he quit though.
Oh yeah, he got canceled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so no canceled. More double G. Chance, tell me that I'm not making this up. Like a week and a half ago, weren't we sitting here on this radio show saying that, you know, talking about all the different projections that had Tennessee locked in at a 3, maybe, yeah, so maybe weeks, even a shot at a 2?
2 weeks ago when Brandon was out, yeah.
Oh, my God. It is
They were
3
in most brackets.
That's been the craziest thing to me. It's fallen so quickly.
I'm interested to see where Joe Lenardi, I'm trying to find it. I don't know why this is so hard to find.
Who was the one that that you had just – that was
that
Jerry
Palm. That was Jerry Palm,
CBS.
Yes. Okay. Because Lenardi has had us as a 6
well,
last week.
Let's do this, Brandon. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a break right here, jump back on this side, and then we'll go ahead and compile all the rest of the bracketologies. Because at this point, got to do a little bit more work and see if the other publications – have dropped Tennessee the same way that Jerry Palm has. And the hardest part about it is, in fairness, he's dropped us down to a 7 seed. Bad loss on Saturday. Lot of 1-1 weeks lately. Can't really put anything together. Can't win consecutively. Man, something's got to change. Hey, we'll give you some more bracketology projections coming up next, so don't go anywhere. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 11:33. Still got some time for you to call into the show today, 865-546-8200. We would love to hear from you, hear what you got to say. So we're talking about a little bracketology right now after Tennessee's blunder over the weekend to Auburn, which, by the way, in that game, here's one of the tough things about that game as well. Tennessee shot the ball better than Auburn did. Had a better field goal percentage, had a better three-point percentage. But you know what happened in that game? Tennessee got outworked. Just didn't look very tough. You know how many Rick Barnes talked about. I know I'm now sending myself on a tangent real quick. But you know what Rick Barnes, after that game, Rick Barnes kept talking about the mental mistakes of that team. Man, it was on display. I don't know if I've seen a game for Tennessee all season where something as simple as inbounding was such an issue. I know that there were plenty of times where Auburn was playing press and made it tough. But oh my goodness. Tennessee had consistent problems inbounding the ball. Perimeter passes flying out of bounds. Inside passes being fumbled into turnovers. It was just a game in which you looked so slow. Borderline a little lackadaisical. But who knows? There could have been a plethora of things that went into that game. Anyways, sidebar over. Brandon, we were trying to find Joe Lenardi's bracketology report over the break. Unfortunately, though, doesn't look good.
Well, Chance,
as in doesn't look good, as in because we're not looking at anything.
Yeah, Chance, you had found one that was from the day before, or from Friday.
Yeah, that's
so
from
before,
Friday.
Before we lost to Auburn, and we were at 5. So,
5 playing Western Kentucky.
I did find an updated one from 3 hours ago. This is according to USA Today. You know, so take that however you would like to. But USA Today currently has Tennessee listed as a 6 seed.
Okay.
So anywhere they're going to be probably anywhere between a 5 and 7 seed.
In this, you would be playing the number 11 seed, St. Bonaventure. So, yeah, maybe that is what you're looking at now. At one point, we felt like 2 to 3 was in play. Then it felt like 3 to 4 was in play. Then you felt like, maybe you can drop all the way down to 5, but, you know, 6 is probably the cap. Like, it'd be hard to pass 6.
Mm-hmm.
Also thought it was going to be a little tough to lose to Auburn without Sharif Cooper, but, well, we made that happen. So, Tennessee now staring at a potential 7 seed in the face.
You've got 6 days to prepare for Florida. You got to win that game. You have to.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you need it.
Yeah. I heard this being discussed on the voluntary reaction after the game on Saturday. But, man, I don't know what it is. Hopefully, though, the kids can take a little bit of a break. maybe this week. You can tell that they seem a little worked up. It's been a long season. Many of them have dealt with injuries throughout the season. They're all dealing with underperforming to expectations here at the end of the season. Maybe you need a little bit of a reset. Look, the team hasn't looked great lately. We all know that the record in February has not been good as you end the February month at a perfect 500. Maybe you do give them just a minute off. Say, hey, go clear the minds. Look at school. Take a girl on a date. Do something, right? Just play some video games. Take the mind off of basketball for a day or two. Because, again, you have time to work with. We have nothing going on Tuesday, nothing going on Wednesday. We're fine. But I wonder, to me, again, the team just feels very worked up right now. I can't imagine everything they're dealing with. Imagine it's been a very long, hard, stressful season. Give them a little bit of a break because Brandon's right. You need desperately, and I hate having to say that, but you desperately need a win to end out the regular season.
Florida has a game on Wednesday, so you've got more time to prepare, more rest than Florida will. So that's at least one positive.
And again, make sure you use that to your advantage. If the team looks tired, if the team is dealing with injuries, if the team is trying to, you know, rebuild their legs and their lungs and get everything back for the tournament run, then let them have the advantage of not playing when your opponent is. Give them that time to rest that your opponent will not. I'm not a basketball coach, though, so I don't know what that actually looks like, but that's just it's my take, man. In anything you do, school, work, sports, life, if you're doing something too much, man, it can turn into a negative sometimes. Sometimes you have to take a little bit of a release. Look the other way. Do something else. Not look the other way in a bad way, but you guys know what I mean.
I'm ready to get the bracket. Final one.
Ready to get to it?
Yeah. Just looking at this bracketology gets me fired up.
Are you excited to fill out your bracket?
Yeah. I love it.
I know.
You got any hope that there's any way that Tennessee can do well in the SEC tournament?
I mean, there's...
they can beat any team.
I mean, you've got a week to fix things. You've got a week and a half to make any kind of corrections. You've got this whole week to get ready for Florida, and then after Florida, you've got... I guess the tournament will start on Wednesday, and Tennessee will probably play their first game on Thursday. So you've got that much time to correct any and all issues. And if they can, like you said, I mean, this team is capable. I think they're capable of beating just about anybody in college basketball if they're hot.
Yeah.
If they play the way that we've seen them play this year. But they're also capable of going out and losing in the first round. Or the round of 32.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of a Jekyll and Hyde situation with this team, and we've not seen the good in a while. I've never really been sure which one's the good guy in that situation. Which one is it, Jekyll or Hyde?
I think Hyde's, Jekyll is the bad guy.
He sounds like the bad guy.
Dr. Jekyll.
Is it Hyde the bad guy?
I don't know. Because you, Jekyll and Hyde, you would think the first one would be his true identity.
Yeah, he's Dr. Henry Jekyll.
Jekyll just sounds like it has a negative. Yeah, yeah. It has a negative connotation.
His evil side is Mr. Hyde. Yeah.
Oh, so Jekyll's the good one. Okay.
Yeah, that's the.
We've not seen Jekyll in a while. Just been Hyde.
Oh yeah. Okay. Wait. So say that again. Like, build back your reference for me.
I said this team is Jekyll and Hyde. We've just not seen, I guess, Jekyll in a long time. We've just been Hyde.
Spot on. Spot on, my friend. Well done. Well done. Good reference.
Just been evil?
Bad team.
Not necessarily evil, just bad. Not good.
A lack of good. That's what it is. Oh, man. It was not fun on Saturday. Rick Barnes talked about it a little bit after the game. Saying that the team lacked a competitive fire when they were playing at Auburn. And I think, again, that's kind of what I was alluding to at the beginning of this segment, where you saw Tennessee do things that were uncharacteristic. Not saying that turnovers are uncharacteristic or something like that, but simple perimeter passes that sailed out of bounds, to me, was uncharacteristic from a Tennessee team. They need some guys to step up desperately. Someone's got to get going. Pons has kind of found a groove at around, 8 to 12 points a game. A couple of jump shots here and there, maybe a three-pointer. But, man, if Fulkerson's not going to be getting it going, if Santiago's not going to be getting it going, then Pons has to be a guy to step up. We need everybody to step up, frankly, offensively on this team. The freshmen are carrying things for the most part, but even they are susceptible to bad games. I don't want to be having to only rely on the freshmen who have never been in any kind of, meaningful tournament at this level before. Even though they're great, Keon Johnson, a projected top 10 pick, but still.
Yeah, it's not what you expected. I mean, you knew these guys were going to be good and come in and give you a boost and play a big role in this team, but not to be leading the team. You thought that they would have a little bit of help from the upperclassmen,
right,
on this team, but
right, yeah,
they are they're leading the way right now, and I think that's kind of why you've seen this team struggle.
Barnes said, "The fact is, we're not fixing the things that we keep talking about." Fair point.
That's like Jerry Stackhouse said a couple weeks ago. Keep talking about the same things over and over and over again. Let's do something about it.
See some results.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Quote, it's really hard to talk about competitive fire when you don't feel like the whole team is, or your whole team is bringing it. We've talked about that as much as anything of anything we've coached since we've been at Tennessee. Rick Barnes talking about this team in a historic way. Don't let that just fly out the window. He's saying we've never, never had to deal with a situation like this where a team is not bringing a sense of competitiveness this late in the season. He's talking about this team in a historic way. I am not taking that lightly. This is going to be a big week for Tennessee as they really try to figure things out here heading into the final game of the regular season. But as far as us, we are heading in to the final segment of our show on a Monday morning. Do not go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss it. Don't touch that dial. Be right back. Did anybody catch any of the Golden Globes last night?
No, I missed it. Saw it was on, but I missed it.
Not really.
I got to tell you, I flipped it on last night when I got done with work. I watched the intro with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. And then I watched the very first award. The award was won by Daniel Kaluuya. I think that's it. I'm definitely getting the pronunciation wrong. But so he won an award for the Black Messiah movie, and I immediately just thought to myself, well, now I just want to watch Get Out because he's the main character of Get Out. So then I just went to watch Get Out. So I got 10 minutes through the Golden Globes, watched the first award, realized it was an actor I liked, and then went and watched a different movie of his from 4 years ago. By the way, Get Out, very great movie. Amazing movie. You should watch it if you haven't already. So that was my experience.
That wasn't
the
first time you saw it,
the Globes.
Right?
No.
Have you seen the other one?
Third?
Have you seen the other one? Us?
No.
You seen Us?
I have not seen that one yet.
It's not. It was okay. I like Get Out better.
Yeah, Get Out's better than Us, but Us wasn't bad.
Get Out blows my mind for 100% of the runtime, especially on the rewatch back, because you're watching, you're like, oh my God, this girl is insane. Like every single thing she does is demonic. Like when you really think about it, it's a crazy movie.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. Who needs a spoiler alert? No spoiler alerts on that movie. The whole family is nuts. They're crazy.
Oh, what are you doing? You're just spoiling the whole movie.
Dude, it came out 4 years ago. The whole family is bonkers.
Sometimes you just don't get around to seeing it.
They're straight bonkers.
Very true.
Well, that's a tease. Now you want to go see why the family's crazy.
Trust me.
You get it right away.
He's a decent actor.
You're not curious.
He was in a Black Mirror episode, too. That was a really good one.
I think I have seen that one, and I think you're
the 15
exactly
million
right.
metrics where uh-huh. they're doing mm-hmm. the exercising and things like that.
He's a phenomenal actor that's showing up a ton. He was in Black Panther. Yeah. So he was in the Avengers movies. Mm-hmm. He's coming up a lot lately. But anyways, that was not an if you haven't heard, but just what have you been up to, I guess. Does anybody have a if you haven't heard, or maybe a what have you been up to? In case you want to follow the trend.
I haven't get a chance I know you guys have been up to the WandaVision. I've got to get on that.
Chance, you do.
Catch up.
You do. Brandon and I and Miles, we watched the episode on Friday fully believing that that was the season finale. We sat down. We said, you know what? We're going to finish it. Here we go.
Yeah.
All the answers will be revealed. And then we got to the end and we were like, oh my God, there's no way. There's no way. So the finale is actually next week. You do. Got to start watching it.
Got to catch
it's
up.
It's really good. It'll take you a second.
No, I've watched like the first two episodes.
Okay.
But then it definitely threw
so
me off.
So it's about to start, it's about to really start picking up for you.
Okay.
But anyways.
Get back on that.
Let's see. Anybody got a, if you haven't heard? I'm trying to look through my list right now.
Don't think so.
Did we talk about Russell Wilson last week? Is there an update
him
on
demanding.
Russell Wilson?
Yes, I saw from his agent today. Everything seems to be cool with Seattle, but he made it very clear that Russell still has his four teams that he would like to go to if the situation were to arise. So everything's all right, but he's still saying like, hey, you know, I got this other, you know, this other girl's number right here. I will call her and ask her on a date. Okay. I'll do it. I don't know if that's a good strategy, you know, in the dating world, but maybe. Let's see. I don't think, I think we've pretty much hit most of the, if you haven't heard topics, Brandon, any more good stories or anything,
on your birthday?
Anything fun happened from the birthday weekend?
Let's see.
Anything with our old friend, friend of the station, formerly the station, Cody Mack?
Yeah, we had a good time. Let's see. We went to,
how was the scene? Everybody out again?
Yeah, it was. Which we didn't. We didn't go to Broadway or anything. We just kind of stayed. Try to stay away.
Is
from
Broadway
there.
Like packed again though?
I don't know. We didn't go.
Oh, you
we
didn't even
go
drive down there.
Yeah,
or
we
anything.
Didn't. We didn't go at all. But I mean, the places we went to, they were pretty busy.
Yeah.
Seems like they're getting back to normal in Nashville.
Went to Clyde's.
I heard that you got a. A Sinatra song to be played at an empty, high-class Italian restaurant. Is this true?
Well, I didn't get it played. It was played. It was played, but not by me. It was all Miles. I wish I could tell the whole story, but it's not suitable for the air. But yes, it was so busy at this place, we couldn't get a reservation until 10:30 at night.
What?
Yeah.
But you wanted to stick it out. Like you.
Yeah, well, I mean, we stuck it out.
Okay.
Got there at 10:30. Like, oh, how many you got? We got a party of 11. Like, oh, yeah, that's fine. We got a party of 60 in here already, so come on in.
60?
I mean, probably not, but at least 30
wow.
people were at.
Family reunion type of thing.
I don't know what it was. Some looked like some kind of graduation, but.
Wow.
Yeah, so we get into the Italian restaurant. And had some antipasto, some fresh mozzarella.
Fresh mozzarella.
Nice. And had some nice fettuccine Alfredo.
Oh, my God. And then the whole time, you know, you close out with
and then,
getting to be.
Then the party of 60 leaves.
Okay.
And it's just us in the restaurant, really, because they were already closing. They were cleaning up. And,
I mean, it seems like there's only two parties in the restaurant as it is.
Well, they had us in this back room.
Okay, yeah. Oh, VIP.
Yeah,
in the
VIP
back room.
For the birthday boy.
And then after everyone had left, Miles says, what are the odds we can get some Sinatra on in here? And then the kind gentleman that was serving us obliged the request. So made it happen.
Nice.
All right, so you get one Sinatra song. What are you picking?
My way.
Yeah. Of course.
It was either my way or New York, New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, New York, New York's good. Send in the Clowns is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Sinatra's got a lot of hits.
Fly Me to the Moon.
Mm. Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah. That's a good one. But if you had to pick that one, I think I'd go My Way.
Yeah, you gotta go My Way.
All right, let's see. Well, glad everybody's back in one piece. Hopefully our good friend Cody is in one piece over in the Mid-State.
I did see, speaking of the Golden, you mentioned the Golden Globes, Jason Sudeikis won Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy for Ted Lasso.
Uh-huh.
You should watch Ted Lasso if
you haven't
seen it.
You've been all over it.
It's good.
I might start it.
Good show.
Let me check it out. National Day Calendar. It's National Peanut Butter Lovers Day.
That
sucks for Rick.
That ain't me.
National Pig Day. Love swine.
Love bacon.
Yeah. National Dat Gum That's Good Day.
Hold on.
Real
gum, quick.
That's good
what
bacon.
Is the best form of pork?
Bacon.
Pulled.
Brisket. Or brisket.
Brisket.
Big bacon guy, though.
It's tough to beat bacon.
It is.
Yeah, some sausage.
Undefeated, never
bacon
lost.
Bacon goes with so many different things.
It's also National Self-Injury Awareness Day.
Yeah,
be careful out there. National Horse Protection Day. Protect your
athletic
horses.
Athletic animal.
National Fruit Compote Day.
Okay.
And it's a state always on Monday. National Minnesota Day.
Skull!